Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today.
Our first scripture reading can be found in the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, the first seven verses of the second chapter. Let us continue to listen for God's voice speaking to us. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place in the guest room. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week, as we reflected on preparing for God's promise, we continued our Advent journey by focusing on the call to make space for God's work in the world and in our lives. We explored how Mary and John the Baptist embodied this call. Mary, with her courageous yes to God's plan, despite the uncertainties. And John, with his bold proclamation in the wilderness, encouraging and urging others to prepare the way for the Lord. Together, they reminded us that preparation is not about having every answer, but about being open and available to what God is bringing forth. This week, we shift from preparing for God's promise to preparing for the promised birth. The candle we lit today, the joy candle, shines brightly as a reminder that this preparation is marked not by anxiety, but by rejoicing in God's faithfulness. Paul's words in Philippians are a fitting echo. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. As we get ever closer to our Christmas celebrations, the nearness of the Lord is in the air and at the heart of today's gospel reading from Luke. By the way, Luke has always been my favorite of the four Gospels. I think because of his attention to detail. Luke is precise about everything. He even says at the beginning of his Gospel that his purpose is to write an orderly account of all that took place surrounding Jesus' life and ministry. So my theory is that Luke is actually the first Presbyterian. I'm glad you got that. Because of his love of order. And I'm still searching for the scripture, perhaps Ken Hockenberry can help me, that shows that Luke formed the first committee. Luke's detail in the gospel, in his gospel, and in the book of Acts has even helped modern scholars find historical correlations to people, places, and events with the stories of Jesus, which in my opinion serves to make the testimony of Scripture even stronger. Look at the way Luke describes Jesus' birth in today's reading. This passage is only 7 verses long, but it gives an incredible amount of detail about names, places, and historical context. He mentions who the emperor was when the census was ordered and where and how it took place. He gives great detail about where Joseph and Mary must go because of Joseph's family line, showing us that he, and therefore Jesus, are related to Israel's King David. This, combined with the fact that they were in Bethlehem for the birth, serves to fulfill Hebrew prophecy. Luke even talks about the kind of cloth Mary used to wrap the baby, which tells us so much about their circumstances. Swaddling cloth is the traditional translation, which was literally several strips or scraps of cloth, like for a bandage, that were wrapped tightly around the baby's whole body. This kind of cloth indicated just how poor this family was, underscored by the fact that they were in the stable where the animals lived and had no other place than a feeding trough or a manger in which to lay their baby. Luke paints a vivid picture with just a few words. As a matter of fact, Luke's gospel is the only one of the four that gives any detail about Jesus' actual birth. Matthew talks about Mary and Joseph and then just says the baby was born in Bethlehem. Nothing about the census, no room at the inn, or laying the baby in the manger, not to mention the kind of cloth he was wrapped in. Mark's gospel does not talk about the birth at all, and neither does John's gospel, except in a poetic fashion. In the beginning was the Word, and so on. So if it weren't for Luke's gospel and his painstaking attention to detail, we wouldn't have a stable scene with a manger in our courtyard garden. We wouldn't have the joy of the reenactment of Jesus' birth in the annual children's pageant. And Christmas caroling, like we're doing this afternoon, wouldn't be nearly as much fun because we wouldn't have some of our favorite songs, like Away in a Manger. We wouldn't have any of that, because Luke's gospel is the only one that gives us the detail of Jesus' actual birth. Isn't it interesting that some of the most cherished and well-known parts of the Christmas story, no room at the inn, baby Jesus in a manger, are only a small part of the total gospel account? We might ask, why was the birth detail only included in one gospel? Or perhaps more compelling to us personally, why is the detail of the birth itself central to how we retell this story? Why are we so captivated by where Jesus was born and what his parents went through to get him there? I think it's because these details, while in an ancient context, resonate with us. We may not have been born in a stable or laid in a manger instead of a crib, but all of us know what hardship is. Each of us in our own lives, in our own ways, have met with circumstances we could do nothing to change, but just had to find a way to deal with them. Maybe none of us have lived in the kind of poverty that Mary and Joseph knew, but I think we have all experienced, to one degree or another, poverty of spirit, scarcity of love, hardships in our relationships or in our family. We may not know exactly what Mary and Joseph went through, but our hearts go out to them because, in some way, we do understand. For me, it was as a young adult that I finally came to a soul-deep awareness of what it meant for God to come into our world, taking on our flesh and entering the most depraved circumstances of Jesus' impoverished birth, only to later endure the tragic injustice of his execution. Understanding that about my God was what ultimately broke my heart open to faith in Christ. To know that God not only took on the worst of what we face, but chose to do so, all to reveal God's eternal and unconditional love, brought me to my knees in gratitude for such an unrepayable gift. The details matter to our faith. A year or so ago, I was thrilled to discover that the old sitcom, Mad About You, was finally re-released on a streaming platform. Does anyone else remember that show?
Yeah.
A few, okay. I had searched for it on various platforms over the years, and when it became available again, I couldn't wait to rewatch it. Thinking about the details of Jesus' birth and what it took Mary and Joseph to prepare for it brought to mind an episode from this classic show. And I said this at 9, this show is so old, I'm not going to worry about spoiler alerts. So it was toward the end of the series when Jamie had to go to the hospital to give birth to their first child. Paul and Jamie get to the waiting room of their New York hospital and find another couple in the same situation. Both moms are in wheelchairs with their husbands behind them, ready to take them to the birthing room. But this is not the first child of the other couple. They have had 3 other babies in this same hospital over the years. And they seem very anxious to get ahead of Jamie and Paul, who don't understand the sense of competition. What the other couple knows from experience is that there is one birthing room that is like a master suite with real furniture and beautiful decor, a truly luxurious room in which to have your baby. Once Jamie and Paul learn this, they get into a fierce and funny competition with the other couple to get to what they refer to as the good room. In the end, of course, the other couple gets the fancy room, and Paul and Jamie are stuck in a regular room, which makes Jamie complain and feel slighted as she begins to go into painful labor, which now feels like adding insult to injury. Then their baby is born. And all thoughts of where they are and what room they did or did not get evaporate. All they can see now is the beautiful gift of a child that has come into their lives. As they bask in the glow of the moment, Paul says very softly, "As it turns out, we did get the good room." the details about where Christ was born. Only show more brightly the gift that Christ is for all of us. I think this is why we cherish these details and make them a part of joyful Christmas worship, because the birth of God's love into the world in a newborn baby transformed the lowliest circumstances to the highest, the most impoverished birth to the richest, and the emptiest hearts to the fullest. The details of Christ's birth remind us that God's love transforms everything it touches, turning humble beginnings into profound blessings. As we continue our Advent journey, may we carry this truth in our hearts, rejoicing as we prepare for the promised birth. In the name of our Emmanuel, who is God with us. Amen. Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.